I wanted to just quickly point out two scriptures and kind of in line of, you know, the suffering that Paul went through, you know, just kind of echoing, not kind of, but echoing what Ronnie was speaking of in Matthew 16:24 and 25, where Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." I thought about this one when Ronnie was speaking, that, you know, very seldom are there great things that that come to us without some measure of suffering. And I think in some cases, those great things that may come to us without merit are not appreciated as well as, you know, having to travel the rough road to get there. So that was just something that I was thinking about while Ronnie was speaking there at the end. Today's study is based on hints to the message of the mystery. And there are, you know, various places, you know, I went around in looking in the Bible as far as hints to the mystery before it was fully revealed. So that's what I went through. So, but bear in mind with me, folks, for I will be reading a lot of scripture, and whilst I will be navigating the waters in my canoe with the occasional portage over dry land, I would ask that you stick with me to the end for a fantastic message. I'm going to start off in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Although the book of John is listed physically before the book of Acts, in order to eschew any confusion over timing related to the message that is being conveyed, I believe it is first important to understand that the message in John 3:16 does not contain specificity. It does not state that if the Jews believeth in him, they should not perish, nor does it state that if the Gentiles believeth in him, they should not perish. What it does say is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. This appears to be a glimpse into the mystery yet to be revealed post Acts 28:28. We'll go to Matthew 9:2. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven." Mark 2:5. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Matthew 9:15. "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Now you repeat that. "When the bridegroom shall be taken from them." Matthew 11:25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit in him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Matthew 12:21. And in his name shall be the Gentiles' trust. I think we can see a pattern here, but I will continue. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven was given to his disciples, however, it was not given to Israel. At least in the sense and way that they actually took it. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. 13:35, Matthew 13:35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Matthew 13:36 to Matthew 13:43 is where we're going to go next. And this is the parable of the tares. Matthew 13:36 through 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then we move on to Matthew 15:24. Just kind of, you know, echoing back on the what we just previously read in 36 through 43, that, you know, that is, it's important to note as to who you might recognize, where you are in this this parable. And I don't think it's very difficult to, I don't think it's very difficult to place oneself, you know, based on your belief, your faith. Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15:24 is tantamount to a whosoever clue. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. But what really occurs is what is stated in Matthew 13:13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Just to echo this, whosoever shall believe in him shall find the salvation. Matthew 22:30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven. In heaven. Let us now read Matthew 25:1 to Matthew 25:13, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I will say to you, meaning me, just a mere man, prepare not for a day and know not when it cometh. Rather, prepare yourself for the day that shall usher in everlasting life. For every day that you believeth in Christ Jesus, then every day you are closer to your salvation. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And we'll move to Luke 7:2-9. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Just, care, kindness, love, humility, and faith found he Jesus in a centurion, a man. Now we'll go ahead and jump to Ephesians 1:4. According to he, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And we're going to fall back in the book to Jeremiah 31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Greater things to come, and forgiveness for our iniquity are in the hand of our Father in heaven. So now we'll go, let's see here, we're Ezekiel 59 through 63. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways, and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger. And I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by the covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled. But I got a little ahead of myself there. Get so involved in reading. We're jumping to, I'm sorry, there, Tony. Jumping to Ezekiel 36, 33, 34, 35, all the way to 38. So that's 33 through 38. It is amazing on how you can become so wrapped up in these messages. Again, I'll start over again right here. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you for all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet, for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I found it interesting that they did speak of the heathen here, but it still does speak for Israel as having the earthly hope. And so we're gonna go to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 25. This is a long one. It is a beautiful and wonderful read leading up to 37, 26, and speaks of the patience and love God has for the Jews. I will read a portion of this chapter. So 37, 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up unto them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, this is 9 now, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. 14. and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. The Jews were at a point where their hopes and their faith had dried up and withered like bones. And God was raising them up again to breathe new life into them, and they would be his people and their God. And in that, we see that there is that earthly hope for the Jews. And the heathen was spoken of because the Jews were among the heathen, and they were brought together. So now we'll go to Ezekiel 37, 26, 27, and 28. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. That I, the Lord, I'm sorry. Too many words in there. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Heathen, Hebrew word is goyim, nations. Heathen, Greek, non-religious. Heathen, my conclusion, Gentiles. Further observation, the Gentiles are on deck awaiting the mystery pitch from God. Figured all you baseball fanatics out there would appreciate that one. In Ezekiel 37, specifically verses 26 and 27, it is a return to the land for the Jews, but there is also in Ezekiel 37, 28, a future hope for Gentiles. Again, we see the hints of greater things to come, the trail of breadcrumbs leading to the feast. So I will jump to John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The body of Christ is chosen before the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Strangers were those who believed in Christ. And then we'll continue reading 1 Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Elect, and kind of going back to that, where he says, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let me say that again. Reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 10, 12, and 13. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to jump to 18. For so much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And now we arrive at a crucial point in Acts, particularly chapter 28. And we'll jump and we'll go through 28, verse 25 through 28. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing, ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. We'll jump to 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And thus, this is where the trail of breadcrumbs leads. For it is not a matter of happenstance that the benevolence, mercy, and love of God is bestowed upon us, but rather, as Phil stated on July 25th regarding Paul's epistles, the message was known to God before the foundation. The thoughts of God and measures of his plan are given to us, and where one word is akin to the next, each verse is akin to the next, each chapter is akin to the next, each page is akin to the next, and we finally have in our possession a love letter from God bound in this book we call the Bible. It may not all pertain to us directly, but it is nevertheless important to read and understand. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. One of the instructions that is made within this book is to study, showing thyself approved, rightly dividing the word. From 2 Timothy 2:15. Therefore, when we rightly divide the word contained in this book, we call the Bible, then we can find and understand the messages contained therein and the hint of the ultimate love God has by which affirming our salvation. And 2 Timothy does state, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for listening. I know that was a long run of scripture there, and I hope it meant something to you. I hope it meant as much to you as it does to me. So I will end this with a prayer. Father, we hold thee in highest regard for all your miracles and your infinite wisdom that you share with us from time to time, lifting us from the dust and beckoning us to hear and understand the word and to see and know the light. Lord, we thank you for this wisdom, and we pray that others who may not quite see the light in its entirety would come to know and understand your word and message better, and therefore bringing comfort, knowing the full manifold of their salvation. Amen.